Hey listeners, it's Ginny here, and I want to thank you, yes you, for tuning in. Like a tree silently falling in an empty forest, this podcast really wouldn't be making a peep if you weren't there to listen. So let's give a huge round of applause to you and your ears. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Joining me today is actor Paula Placido, best known for her role of Gina Solis on Peacock's Apples Never Fall. She's also staked her claim to fame on HBO Max's Hacks, Fox's The Resident, and Showtime hits like Shameless and The L Word, Generation Q. Today we're talking about the art of acting, iconic shows that made an impact on the LGBTQ plus community, and a magical school called Hogwarts. And there's also some basketball shit talking at the end, so if you're a Timberwolves fan, you've been warned. Paula, I'm going to start with an important question. Now, did you watch the Harry Potter movies or read the books first?
I watched the movies. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't read the books because, one, I didn't like to read. I mean, I like to read like Dr. Seuss and Judy Blume books, but like, I think Harry Potter was I just never read them.
And what was it about the movies that inspired you to get into acting?
I was the same age as them, as the three leads. So being able to see them on TV, and then it's a magical world. And I was just so inspired, and seeing these kids my age doing that, which I thought was so cool. I was like, if they can do it, why can't I? I want to do it.
Was there a particular scene or something that you found was like, hey, I'd really think this would be cool to do for a living?
I think just the filmmaking of it was just so epic. And it's like the closest thing to like Star Wars, you know, like just such a big giant production and all the special effects. I just thought it was so cool and the magic of it all. And I just wanted to do what they were doing. And Hermione, I was just like, I could be her.
Paula, one of my favorite ways to get to know people is to talk to them about what keeps them grounded. And you're living in LA, you're working in Hollywood, and you're obviously very busy with your very bustling resume that you have there. I'm curious, how do you wind down, especially in such a competitive, fast-moving industry like Hollywood?
I just recently got back into painting, which has been really nice. I have a patio and I just have all of my paintings out there and put in an hour every day. I kind of stay away from the industry unless I'm working because it consumes so much of my days. I do love having a partner that is also in the industry because we get to talk a lot through problems, through challenges. So it's nice to have a partner that can relate and understands. So aside from that, it's just doing things that make me feel good, which is like exercise. I do read now. I can read. I spend most of my time reading now. And I love basketball. Playoffs and NBA season, I'm watching sports all the time.
Well, we'll get back to the playoffs because I feel that could take over the conversation and lead it down a very interesting path. I'm a relatively newish cat mum, and I recognize just how grounding animals can be, like my little kitten just sitting there as well. You've got a dog named Simba. Was Simba named after the Lion King character?
He was. Thank God. I had a roommate and I was coming up with the worst dog names. I mean, he was close to being called Brooklyn. And then a Kingston came up and I was like, wait, am I trying to like name him after Gwen Stefani's son? Like, what is this?
Or Victoria Beckham's son, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But my roommate was like, name him Simba. He was like this tiny little thing, 3 months old. And I picked him up and we started playing the Lion King anthem. And I was like, this is my son. He's a really good dog. He's almost 12 now. When I was in Australia shooting for 4 months, I didn't realize how much I was going to miss him. And I just couldn't wait to get back home and just not take any moment for granted and just took him on long walks until he was just like, I'm over this. Like, bring me back inside.
I totally hear you. They can be so grounding in that way as well. Speaking of grounding, you mentioned that you love painting and you mentioned then that it's something that allows you to kind of separate yourself from the industry when you don't have to be in it because it can be quite consuming. One thing I noticed is that you love painting hands. What is it about painting hands that speaks to you and whose hands were influential in your life?
It started with the creation of Adam by Michelangelo. I remember very specific. I was in elementary school in art class. I think it might have been around in the fifth grade. And this is back in the day when, like, we used to go to the library because they had computers, and I would just spend all day printing out a bunch of stuff. And I remember printing out the hands of Adam and God. And I would like trace them so much that I could just outline it without even having the photo there anymore, because my hands were just like used to the movement. But now I'm trying not to draw hands because I realize that almost all my paintings are hands, and I'm like, I need to try something different. So now I'm really just like playing with like color palettes and abstract and trying to see if I can get a mood to make you feel something when you're looking at the colors and maybe even see your own interpretation in there. I like art that can liven up a room, and it doesn't have to be like picture perfect hands or something like that, but just like the color just gives the room a vibe. That's really what I'm going for right now.
Another thing I found interesting was your on-screen resume. You're on Elwha, Generation Q, Hacks, Sugar, Apples Never Fall, and Shameless, to name a few. Now, 20 years ago, not many youngins know this, but The L Word was really the first show of its kind other than Queer as Folk, right, when it came out. And people were like, this is like the only show out there that represents lesbian life in a holistic way and the community in a holistic way. What was your first impression of The L Word, the OG version?
It made me make sense of a lot of things, a lot of my feelings. The show was so special because every character and their relationships, I felt something about it, and it made me feel like intrigued, sexy, and it really like confirmed that I find women, loving women relationships so attractive, and it kind of lit a fire in me. And when you feel that watching something, you're obviously connecting with it. I loved that show growing up, and it would piss me off because sometimes I'd hate what the direction that they were going in. But that's also something that I find myself really liking about TV shows now. Like when they piss me off, it gets me angry and it gets me talking and it stays in my head. So I feel like that's good TV. That's good storytelling. I remember watching that show and finding so many different women attractive and just being like, oh, wait, do I have a type? Because I like that, but I also like that. It was just such a good show to have because there was nothing else like it on TV.
As a fan, what didn't resonate for you as a fan? And did you get a different experience on the reboot?
I guess as a fan, I was angry for like certain characters like not working out, but I guess that is real life and realistic.
Because we were all devastated about Carmen, let's just be honest.
That's okay. You said it. I didn't say it.
I have to say it. It's Carmen and Dana. Talk about the elephant in the room. All right.
Also, like in the Generation Q, they tried to get certain things right that they didn't get in the original, like trans mask representation. Also, like non-binary representation. Obviously, I don't want to shade the show because times change and we realize that like certain things that we said back then weren't really appropriate. Because there is a lot of like shading in the queer community. Some gay men don't like lesbians. Lesbians don't like gay men. And then there is a lot of like trans hate inside of the community. So I really appreciated that in Generation Q, they were able to make amends in a way or try to like right some wrongs that were done previously. So I really do appreciate that. And I think the showrunner did a really good job of opening it up for a lot of different people in the community that weren't represented in the original. I don't think my character would have had an arc in the original. So I really do think that Marja did a really good job about checking more boxes and bringing more people in there.
And even the same with Queer as Folk, right? It was the first show of its kind depicting gay men having sex in a very explicit way, right? And then you go into The L Word, which is the same thing. But now there are so many options for us to enjoy because of those two shows. Can you tell us a little bit about where you were born and your family roots?
I've been doing a lot of research on this. My dad passed away. My parents are older when they had me. So a lot of questions that I want answers to, I can't get them because like I never met my grandparents, but I did like an ancestry DNA to try to see like if the stories that my parents told me, how accurate or how far they go back. So my dad's father is Italian. They came to Argentina. So my dad was born in Buenos Aires. My mom is Colombian, also with like indigenous South American heritage, ancestry. So I've been trying to find out more about the indigenous side. My mom was born in Caldas, which is like a small little town in Colombia. And then they met in DR. So I was born Dominican Republic. I grew up there. I have a bunch of Colombian Dominican cousins that are still in DR. So I go there once or twice a year. And it's such a big melting pot in my house.
It sounds like there's an eclectic background that you have. And you said it's a melting pot in your house. How do you experience that in your life? Do you experience that through food? How does that kind of transfer over into your life?
The food, I love it so much. I can't tell you which one I like the most. I love Colombian food. The sancochos and like the bandeja paisas, like they're all very specific. On the Argentine side, they have like the churrascos, very meat heavy, lots of red wine. And then DR, that was like my favorite food growing up. So like, I remember being like in elementary school and we got to bring like a special dish from like our culture. And the one thing I made was like a pastelón, which is mashed sweet plantains. It's like pretty much a shepherd's pie, but it's with plantains instead of the potatoes. And then you got this ground beef and you throw raisins and olives in there. It's a sweet and savory combination. It's a very heavy meal. During the pandemic, because I couldn't get my hands on any of this, I would just start cooking it all at home. So it was really nice because I got to call up my mom, ask her certain recipes, and then go online and start cooking some of the things that I remember my dad cooking. So I feel like I got to really explore a lot of South American and Caribbean cuisines growing up.
Does it help you feel closer to your dad when you kind of explore recipes and remember his legacy in that way?
Yeah, 100%. I remember when he was going through chemo, it was really hard because it was the first time I've ever seen my dad like on a walker. I was like 21. And I remember thinking, okay, let me like get as much out of him as possible that I can like hold on to. And I remember being like, Dad, come in to the kitchen with me. I got some chicken breasts. Show me how to make a milanesa, like Argentine style. Because he used to just have a bunch in the freezer prepped and just had it in the freezer. And whenever we wanted, he would just like make it. I remember him showing me how to do that. I'll make some of the stuff that he used to make for me when I was a kid, like the like Spanish tortillas, which are like these like thick omelets, put chorizo in there and like potatoes and onions and just eat it for like 3 days straight.
I want to kind of go back to what you're doing at the moment and the great work that you've been doing, you know, on the shows. Is there a character that you portrayed who feels the most like you in real life?
It would probably be between L-Word or Apples Never Fall. For Generation Q, there was so much that I related to that character of like, you know, being in love with your best friend and timing is never there and feelings weren't reciprocated. And if they were, it was never like at the right time. But also like being able to put your friendship first, because ultimately you care about the individual more than you care about your own interests. So I think maybe Generation Q, but also like in Apples, I think I've been in relationships before where it's like, you know, you're really devoted to your partner and then certain indiscretions could happen even if the line hasn't been crossed. I don't know. I think those two characters are really caring. And I think those are the ones that I would probably relate to the most.
You've clearly worked with some amazing people like your co-stars on Apple Never Fall, Sam Neill, Annette Bening. You've also worked with Colin Farrell and Rosie O'Donnell. Does it feel intimidating to work side by side with such Hollywood heavyweights? Or is it just like, oh, we're actors, we're professionals, we're just working together and they're my colleagues? How does that feel?
Incredibly nerve-wracking. I adored Annette Bening. The Kids Are All Right. I loved that movie so much. And American Beauty. And I remember the first time that I had a scene with her, my leg was shaking, like under the table. Like my leg was going like this. And I was just like talking to myself, Mike, get it together. And then, you know, reminding myself, you're a professional. Like, we're just here working. We're regular people. Like, stop doing that. This isn't the moment. But then, like, you know, after the initial nerves, you get over that. And then you remember that you're here to do a job. And then we're both humans. And don't be the weirdo. Don't be the weirdo turning into a fan right now. It's okay. You admire their work, but don't be weird. And with Colin Farrell, I was a little nervous, but he's like kicking the shit with you like the whole time. So it's just like within 30 seconds, all of that is out the window. And we're just like friends and we're just buddies. But it is really, really cool. And I do feel incredibly grateful. And I think I've been given some really good opportunities to work with people that I've been watching their movies for decades.
Who is someone actually that you'd like to collaborate with that you haven't yet? Whether it be like an actor or a director, is there someone that you'd really love to work with?
Actor, I think probably Oscar Isaac. I love everything he does. I just think he's a fantastic actor. And I would love the opportunity to do anything with him. Quentin Tarantino is about to retire, so I don't think that's ever going to happen. But I just recently watched the Kill Bill movies all over again.
They're great, aren't they?
Yeah. It's so funny. I forgot how good they are.
And how good Uma Thurman is, right?
She's insane. I want that yellow motorcycle zip-up suit she has. Yeah, jumpsuit she has. That's insane.
So if it's not Tarantino, who else would you like to work with?
I was also watching Call Me By Your Name the other day, too. I was like, Luca is phenomenal. I got to work with Fernando Mireles on Sugar, which was honestly like one of my dreams because City of God is in my top five movies of all time. Martin McDonagh, I loved Banshees. Obviously, I would say like Greta Gerwig, but like, that feels so cliche because she's like right there, like at the top.
Hopefully like one time you'll be working with Greta Gerwig and we can play this clip.
Oh, that would be so sick.
That'd be cool, right? You mentioned how Hollywood can be quite consuming. What do you find the most challenging thing about being an actor?
I think being kind to yourself, honestly. We tend to be so harsh and self-deprecating. And that's why I say I'm thankful to have a partner that's also in the industry because sometimes I'll say things about my work or something. And I remember she checked me one day. She was like, would you ever say those things to me? And I was like, no, absolutely not. She's like, so why would you say them to yourself? If you wouldn't say that to anybody else, don't say that to yourself because that's really mean. So say you go like on 100 auditions, which is like going on 100 job interviews and you don't see results, you start to question if you're doing something wrong and then the whole world is conspiring against you. So like you could go down a rabbit hole. That's the challenging part. And just you got to be your biggest cheerleader because everybody else is telling you no. So you got to be your biggest fan and your biggest advocate.
Would you say that's the biggest lesson Hollywood's taught you? Really that part about staying strong on being a cheerleader for yourself?
Yeah. I think it's so important, and not just in Hollywood. I think it translates to everything in life. You got to have the utmost confidence in yourself because nobody else is going to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself. You know what I mean? You got to have so much belief in yourself that you start making believers out of everybody else.
What do you think is one thing that might surprise people about the industry that isn't so obvious?
I think it's getting more public knowledge now, but that like everybody you see on TV isn't rich. It's a really, really hard industry. People are like, oh, well, you know, they're getting paid this much and this much. But I'm like, do you understand how long people go without a job and the amount of work that it takes to get one? The amount of work that you have to do on the side, whether it's like, you know, taking headshots or taking classes or going to workshops, all the reading, all the learning. It's just so much work just to get like one thing. And then I guess if you really like do the math of it and all the hours that you put in, you're not making that much money. It has to be something that you love, because you, oftentimes you're doing it for free.
Yeah. I mean, imagine going to 100 job interviews and not knowing if you're going to land any of them, right? You have to keep going to another 100 until you land one. So I just learned about you that you're a crazy Lakers fan. What kind of Lakers fan are you? Like, are you that Lakers fan that when you're at a game or you're watching a game, everybody but the Lakers suck? You're that fan that's like really into it. You yell at the TV.
I will yell at the TV. Majority of the time it's the refs, it's the calls, or it's our team. I'm yelling at our team. I'm like, oh, pass the ball. Where's the movement? Find the open man. There's no rhythm. Why are you playing one-on-one right now?
And I'd imagine it's not as G-rated and articulate as you just said now.
It's not even like actual sentences. It's more just like, I feel like half a sentence is in my head and half a sentence comes out. So it's a lot of F-bombs and like, a lot of that. But I don't really like hate other teams per se, but there are maybe two teams that I, you know, and it's going to be the Nuggets and Boston.
I like that. See, I mean, I don't hate Boston as much as I don't like the Heat. I mean, I've got beef with the Heat. I think Boston's the team everybody hates this season. Let's just be real, right? Like, because they...
Or ever in life.
Yeah. Okay. I love watching basketball with my fiance for that reason too. Like the yelling at the TV. It's like, get the ball. It's like, what seems to be so easy for us?
Yeah. Easier said than done. Last time I tried to play basketball, I was like, so winded after going up and down twice. I was like, I forgot how hard this is.
And even just getting the ball to go through a hoop, like I think I just look like an elf playing basketball the last time I did it. So I totally get it. Were you sad when Kobe passed?
Oh man, yeah. I was getting ready to go out on a date. I think I was riding my motorcycle. So I was like getting all my stuff and my roommate was there and he was like, Kobe Bryant died. And I was like, why would you say that? And she's like, no, 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 he just died in a helicopter crash. I just remember like I sat on the couch in complete disbelief. And he's the reason I started watching basketball when I was a kid. I was living in Florida and I just loved the purple and gold because of him. And everything about him, his whole mentality and his perseverance is something that like I admire so much. I was completely devastated. And then I remember I ran the LA Marathon a month after that, and I was just so freaking exhausted around mile 20. And I was literally just praying to Kobe Bryant as I was running. I was like, Kobe, just give me like an extra. I have him hanging here. Hold on. I'm going to show this to you real quick. It's hanging on my frame wall, but like it's the actual magazine and I framed it. Like I liked him so much. It was devastating.
I don't think we'll see another player like him again.
It's also like a generational thing because like people who grew up in the 90s are always going to say MJ, and rightfully so. But, you know, I grew up watching him. He's my GOAT.
Who do you think will win the championship this year? Do you hate to say Boston? Do you think Timberwolves?
Yeah. Oh, Boston doesn't stand a chance. It brings me so much joy to see what the Timberwolves are doing to the Nuggets right now. In a fantasy world, which is going to come to reality, I want Anthony Edwards to look at the Nuggets and say, I'm your daddy.
So you just want Anthony Edwards to say that at a parade or say that at a game?
Just do it at the parade. And it's just really nice to see them be demoralized the way that they demoralized our team. So it's just like, you know, if you could dish it, you could take it.
Well, Paula, thanks so much for your time on The Ginny Show. It's been really great getting to know your basketball passions, your cooking passions, and everything that you've been up to.
It was great talking to you. And please hit me up. We should be talking during the playoffs, for sure.
Thank you for joining me today. Your time and attention is something we are so grateful for. This podcast is a production of Ginny Media. If you had fun, please subscribe and leave us a review. I'm Ginny Sarasvati. And how about a shout out to the greatest basketball team in the world, the New York Knicks. And I guess the Lakers. Until next time, friends,